we heard, or I really heard. I'd read this, but I had never really received it in my heart like I did that day. So Robert is going to come up and talk about more about... We always have to hand the baton and the microphone. Here we go.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sister.
Thank you, honey. We never know how this is going to go, the handoff, because as husband and wives, I don't know how much time you have together with your wife, but it seems like we don't have that much time together, that with what we're both retired, but we're so busy. We're busy volunteers, and so there are times together that when we do get together, it's like we just want to relax and watch a movie or something, you know, just talk, watch a football game or something. But we came together on this yesterday, and I really felt that all of a sudden Marcia started talking. And usually when we talk, because we're both sort of opposite, I'll be talking, and she doesn't quite agree with what I'm saying, or she's talking, I'm not agreeing with what she's saying. But yesterday she kept talking. I said, man, that's really good. That's good. That is really good. Keep going. And I'll just talk about when you finish talking, I will talk. And I have to say, this morning when I came in, I walked in the door and the Holy Spirit was here. And I just was glad to see people. I started talking and I'm back in the shaking hands. Meanwhile, Irene's up here. And I know that she's been practicing and she's playing and playing and she's humming and singing and humming and singing. And I came around to sit down. I said, boy, Lord, give her the spirit of long-suffering. Because when you rehearse to play and play, and the people are talking, there's a part of you that might say, don't they appreciate what I'm doing here? That's what the enemy would tell you. They don't appreciate you. Because they're not giving you. You've been investing all this time, and you've been practicing, and you've been doing this and that, but they're not responding to it. And that's what the enemy would tell you. But I believe Irene just kept worshiping and worshiping because this is her place. This is where she comes and does ministry. This is where she's in relationship with her Heavenly Father. So I'm sitting down, and then Ricky got up and started leading, and I always enjoy his songs. But when he picked up the saxophone, I looked at him. I says, man, this guy can do everything. Man, he runs marathons, and he rides bicycles, and he swims, and he does martial arts or whatever he does, and he plays a saxophone. And that was so beautiful, that song they start singing. I just found myself start weeping. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. What can I do, Lord? Can I share my heart? That book that I gave you, that's basically what it is. Scriptures and just how you can share your joy and what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Coming from the heart. What he's given us. I'm sitting there and say, oh, man, this is so good. I had to run up there, and his saxophone was in the way. I want to hug him, but I want to say, the Lord gives me all these visions, and he's given me songs, and I've met musicians and singers and worship leaders over the years. I know one day we're going to do an album. I just know it. I says, Ricky, you're going to be on that album with that saxophone. Hallelujah. So Marcia's talking about hope and about the prayer for one another and how it affects us. And it is the prayer for one another. I was here a week ago Tuesday. I came for Marlene and Joseph were visiting their daughter and grandchildren and grandchild to come back in Missouri. And I came to the prayer time that Patrick led very well. It was Patrick and Rogelio and Cindy and myself. And I said, okay, what do you do? And we have a nice order of praise, and so we start praying, start praising the Lord for who he was. After about 30 minutes of that, I'm looking at my watch and saying, oh my God, it's 10 to 8. Is this ever going to end? Isn't that terrible? We're praising God and telling him how wonderful he is, but there's a part of him I really don't know. And when you get with other people to praise God, I don't know, I'm so insecure in myself, I'm thinking, I hope my prayer is good enough. Boy, their prayers are really good. I hope my prayer's good enough. I hope I sound, you know, I'm a minister and everything else, but I don't know. I'm sort of a late bloomer. I don't pray the same as the people that went to the regular seminaries. I went to the Seminary of Hard Knocks. And so I'm there, and we're all praying, and I'm looking. I said, man, this is taking forever. We've been praying for 30 minutes, and we're going to pray for another 40 minutes. And all of a sudden, Rogelio said, "Lord bless Robert and Marcia." As soon as he said that, I just felt different. And then he started praying for the other people. And then I went to Cindy, and she started praying for the people. People that weren't here. The regular church family. Praying for Joseph and Marlene. Came around, and it just went really good. All of a sudden, this little area that I felt like confined and claustrophobic, you know, I just want to get out of here. All of a sudden, it opened up, man. And just in my spirit, I just started seeing everything. It was just like, I was looking at the blue skies and everything, and it was just like, whoa. We just kept going around and praying for people, praying for one another. Next thing you knew, they said, "It's over." 40 minutes had gone by like that. I said, wow, I didn't want it to be over. It was so good. And we all started hugging each other and talking. But the Lord had showed me that what He wants us to do is to pray for one another, to love one another. And in order to do that, there's a certain vulnerability that comes. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He brings conviction. Do you have, I think I've got some scriptures here. Spirit of conviction, John 16:8. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And this happens so many times. And what happens? The conviction of the Lord will come upon you. And it's like you have an option here. You have a change. It's almost like, well, what should I do, Lord? What can I change? Or if not, you say, I want to get out of here. And I've been in places like that. I've preached. I've seen it. Just all of the spirit of conviction. And all of a sudden, I can just see everybody is uncomfortable. It's almost like they're looking at their watches. They want to get out. They want to do anything other than hear what's going on. Because the word of truth is coming. God is speaking. And I was looking in Acts 2:37. Peter has come. They've been filled by the Holy Spirit. Peter the fisherman has come down and he's preached this great sermon about who Jesus Christ was and what they'd done. And the people heard it. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit came on and they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" He says, "Repent and believe." And they said the Holy Spirit came upon them. 5,000. I mean, it just became a whole different ball game. People's lives were transformed. Their minds were transformed. There was a different change. There's a different thing about them. That's one beautiful example. That's what we hope to see all of the time. Another example, spirit of conviction. Acts 24:25. Paul has been arrested. I think it's King Agrippa has him, and King Agrippa's meeting with him. King Agrippa's hoping to get a large reward here. He wants to trade him off for money. Or King Felix. No, it was Agrippa. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." So what happened is that door opened up for him. Had an opportunity for him to come into relationship with God the Father. And he got afraid and I don't want to do this. The world, he heard the voice of the world. I was going to turn this guy over and get some money for him, a large reward. He says, "Let me out of here. I'll call you later." And it says he returned and talked to him later. But after that, it was with the mind. They'd have these discussions, discussing about this. But he was never, ever convicted. That door never opened up for him again where he could have a relationship with God the Father. And I hate to say that. That happens. It happens in the church today. I went to a birthday party last night for this church, the church plant we were part of several years ago, and all of a sudden it was four or five couples in somebody's front room at their house. We'd meet there on Sundays, and little by little the couples walked away, and finally it was just four of us. And then all of a sudden people started coming, all students, Cal students, Stanford. There was a group came up from Stanford every Sunday morning. We got this little warehouse, a little cloak room, book room in Emeryville. We get like 40 kids in there just jammed in, and the Holy Spirit was there just coming in. And we'd play a song on the wall. Nobody could play guitar. We'd put a video up on the wall, and just we'd have anybody would come. We'd put them in chairs, and people would just walk around, and you would just pray over them. You'd go from one person to the other and just prophesy and pray over them. Just saying good things, the promises of the Lord. And just kept getting bigger and bigger. People were crying and weeping. This just kept going on and on. As we prayed for one another. It was just an act. And then all of a sudden, everybody graduated. They got their PhDs or masters or graduated and moved on. Till eventually it was just a few people left. And then eventually the pastor got burnt out. He was a young man, got burnt out because it can happen. And so his wife had her birthday party, 40th birthday party last night. And so I saw a lot of these people I hadn't seen before. And they came up to me and says, "Robert, what are you finding in the church? We're not finding any Holy Spirit. We're going to churches and we're seeing a lot of good emotions. You can go to a church and they have a good band and they have a good speaker and everybody's friendly and stuff and the emotions are good, but there's no Holy Spirit." And I said, "What are you finding?" I said, "Well, I've seen a lot of that, but I go to the jails of the missions and I see the Holy Spirit." I told him about this place. I go to Great Commission. It's this church, and I told him about how we've invited to come here, and I can see the Holy Spirit coming. I remember a few weeks ago we spoke, and the Holy Spirit was really strong in here. So strong, I saw everybody uncomfortable. I got uncomfortable. I just wanted to get out of here. I think I remember Scotty says, "I'm not even going to preach anymore. I'm getting out. You want prayer? Come in the other room." So I went to the other room, and some people showed up. A lot of people showed up. We prayed for them. Then the following 2 weeks later, we came back. We had testimonies of people, how they were touched, had a physical healing, other people just emotionally healing, and just different things. Because we asked, who wanted the Holy Spirit? Let's say if a group like this, maybe half stood up. Some people looked around, started to stand up, and said, "Well, I don't know if I should stand up or not." That's conviction. But you're not saying, "Should I be like King Felix? Or should I be, what shall I do? Be somebody in the, what can we do? Just, should I listen? Should I care about what other people think of me? Do I care what that is? No. Or can I just know I have a relationship with God? Then I can go forth and I can tell people and walk in peace in that." And the Holy Spirit is coming. It's here. So, in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Ask and you can receive." And the children of God hear his voice. I got other scriptures. We haven't got enough time. And John 5:16. So here's what we're going to do. Marcia and I talked it over. We need a demonstration here. We need a demonstration that the Holy Spirit's going to come and minister to somebody here today.
Is there anybody who might be dealing with worry at all since that came up earlier? Is there anybody who would like prayer for worry? Okay, great. Come on up, Greg. I just want to say, when you think about this scripture of Colossians, the one about hope, imagine if we suddenly had everybody around us, we were suddenly filled with unlimited hope. That it's there. We just haven't quite accessed it, I think. We're drawing on it. It's unlimited and it's there. And that's a promise to us. So before we go, we're going to pray that out into this room as well. But first, we're going to demo some prayer for worry.
So in a situation like this, as one friend to another, as one saint to another, we say, what do you want prayer for?
Peace and release from worry.
Okay. Any of the specific areas?
Well, there's a lot of life. I mean, there's always seems like there's pressures. And, you know, I've talked with Scott about it. There's so many different things, whether it's housing or job or finance or school, school district stuff or... Uh-huh. health, medical, all those different types of things. They're just constantly coming in.
Okay.
So.
Father, we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord.